House Committee on Judiciary, May 15th, 1985, work session, full committee. Bills to be considered are House Bills 2258, 2428, 2424, 2730, 2651, 2516, 2256, 2222, 2217, 2216, 2460, Senate Bills 176 and 573, House Bills 2757 and 2711.
We're going to depart slightly from our printed agenda and take up a couple bills out of order to accommodate some scheduling problems for those parties who have an interest in two of those measures, and those are 2216 and 2217 House bills. If council could introduce those bills to us, advise us of the action taken in subcommittee, and then I'll recognize Representative Bunn.
House Bill 2216 deals with changing the law on charitable trusts, and at the last subcommittee meeting, we adopted several sets of amendments, and they included a set of amendments exempting nursing and retirement homes from certain portions of the Act. We adopted amendments affecting the fee structure, and we adopted amendments exempting education institutions and certain educational foundations from the Act. You have in front of you a copy of a hand-wrote version of the bill as it presently stands from the subcommittee. We had legislative council combine all the amendments passed the subcommittees and know they're designated as LC 2216-5.
Okay, and all those amendments were adopted in the subcommittee, were they not?
Correct.
In 2216?
Correct.
Okay. Are there any questions at this point? Let me recognize Representative Bunn, I guess generally to the subject of 2216 and 2217. I understand there's been some discussion of the action that's appropriate if we consider these measures favorably. And let me, before I recognize Representative Bunn, let me ask which of the two bills, 2216 or 2217, or both have a subsequent re-referral?
2216 has a referral Ways and Means, as does 2217.
Both bills?
Correct.
And the amendments have not changed the need for that referral, have they?
I don't believe so.
Representative Bunn.
Mr. Chairman, as was mentioned in the subcommittee, we adopted amendments, some of which were proposed by John Eby, to put a cap on the fees of $100. And we had indicated to the Attorney General's office that we were interested in knowing what that would do to their program. It became obvious after visiting with the Attorney General's office that if we kept the caps in place, it would decimate their program to the point where they could not effectively operate the current program. So I met with John Eby to discuss some alterations to the earlier subcommittee work. And we have come to agreement on what would be considered a compromise that I would like to outline briefly and then ask Mr. Eby if I could to come forward perhaps and confirm whether I've missed anything or not in that proposal. First, we would continue the exemption for the nursing and retirement homes and the foundations such as the OSU Foundation so that they would not be included in coverage of the bill. We would undo our amendments that put a $100 cap and replace it with amendments that are made available today, which I requested that the Attorney General's office draft, which puts a cap at a higher level. In addition to changing that cap, we would put in an amendment that would take out a charge. There's currently a charge on the assets of the various nonprofit organizations. We would take that charge out for the operating charities such as the Shakespearean Festival and those types of groups. Those are changes to 2216. 2217 would further be changed where we reduced the filing fee for a professional fundraiser from $500 to $100, which was an effort that I had proposed to the committee. We would raise that to $250 to give some additional funds to the Attorney General's office. And we would continue to leave out the bond. Now, these changes and conditions that Mr. Eby would like to add to that were done with the understanding that several items would be put on the list of matters for the Judiciary Interim Committee to study, and the chairman's indication of a favorable reaction to that. And those items that would be studied were the question of whether the exemptions in these bills were warranted and justified. Second, whether there should be some general fund monies used in this area in future sessions. And third, whether there in fact needs to be a bond required for professional fundraisers. Now, the latter portion of that would not be done in the bills, but just made a part of the record. The other portions are embodied in the amendments that are provided to the committee today.
Let me ask, I'm not sure if all members have received a copy of that revised fee schedule. Council, do you have that available or has it been distributed?
Did I not give it to you? John, does that pretty well outline what we have agreed on?
John, why don't you come up and make sure we get you on the record?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I am John Eby, Executive Vice President of Oregon Advocates for the Arts, and yes, Representative Bunn, I think that really very well outlines the agreement that we have come to. As I shared with the subcommittee, we are still very much concerned with the equity of the current situation, which allows some organizations to be exempted and others not to be exempted from the filing process and fee structure. I feel that that still needs to be examined, and the other issues that Representative Bunn has outlined also need to be examined. But this is a reasonable cap. It does eliminate the fixed assets from the fund balance portion of that fee structure for operating charities, so that those operating charities, whether they be arts organizations or social service organizations, are not paying a fee based on those facilities that they're providing services from. So we think that's a reasonable approach. And with that interim review, we are certainly satisfied with this kind of approach. So, thank you.
Okay, Representative Bond.
Mr. Chairman, I might just comment further. The original concept from the Attorney General's office was a recognition that they could come into this committee and indicate that they did not have to have the high filing fees that they had in the past. I mentioned that for the benefit of the remainder of the committee. These amendments do move us toward a position where we are very close, within $30,000 of the total amount they requested in their original proposal. There's a bit of a discrepancy between what we're suggesting and what Ways and Means has suggested, which puts the Attorney General's office in perhaps an awkward position between those two committees. And that's why I haven't specifically brought them into the process of this resolution of this issue.
Okay. Appreciate that work and explanation. We have before us the proposed amendments to House Bill 2216, which have been explained by Representative Bunn. And Representative Bunn moves the adoption of those amendments to House Bill 2216, which have been distributed to members. Is there further discussion on the amendments or questions? Any objection to those amendments? Not they're adopted. Representative Bunn?
Mr. Chairman, I would move the amendments. Do you want that bill dealt with before we go to 2217?
Yeah, why don't we go ahead and do that?
Could I ask Rocky a question?
Sure.
Now that we've adopted those amendments, have we done away with the $100 cap and the other things that we adopted in the earlier action? Do you know, Ross, if the effect of the amendments is to do away with the adoption of our earlier amendments?
to the extent that it covers the same issues.
Okay.
There were other amendments that were adopted.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I would then move House Bill 2216 as amended to Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Dunn moves House Bill 2216 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Downey?
Aye.
Dunn?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Okay, 2217. Council, I believe we've already had some discussion. This basically is a bill from Department of Justice that provides additional protection for the public in terms of solicitation for charitable purposes. And I believe we also have an amendment before us from Representative Bunn that speaks to the earlier or the fee portion, and it would be appropriate, I think, at this point to accept a motion from Representative Bunn to adopt those amendments to 2217.
Chairman, I would so move.
Thank you. Representative Bunn moves adoption of amendments to 2217 to bear the date 5/14/85. Is there any question or discussion regarding that amendment? Any objection to that amendment? If not, it's adopted. And I think the statements made previously by Mr. Eby and also by Representative Bunn apply as well to this bill. Representative Bunn would move the adoption that the committee report 2217 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion or question about 2217? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Dunn?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Jepson?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. I'd like to thank all the parties and Representative Dunn for their work on this issue, and to the extent that we can at this point assure that this will be the subject of an interim study, we are committed to do so. Okay, let's return to the top of our agenda. We've got 2258. Council?
Mr. Chairperson, this bill deals with the Justice Courts and the Justice of Peace. We had a committee meeting a week ago. Representative Bellamy said the main purpose of this bill, as amended, was to set up an advisory committee to ensure that municipal courts and justice courts had a say in the court structure to settle on fee increases and settle on fees that were not provided for by statute, and also to allow for an interim study on a subject as far as we can commit. All the amendments were adopted, and this included one by Representative Kopecky, which set up a county trust fund, and you have in front of you a set of amendments labeled LC 2258-5. Another set of amendments were worked by Representative Bunn, which would allow certain transfer of cases between Justice Court and District Court, most notably in Sullivan County.
Okay, is there a subsequent re-referral on this bill?
There is, but Representative Bellamy questioned whether or not they had to go to Ways and Means since we're dealing with justice courts. And perhaps somebody from the State Court Administrator's Office could speak to that.
Okay, we do have a representative from the State Court Administrator's Office. If you'd like to come forward and respond on that issue, or let's see if there are any questions. Representative Bellamy?
Yeah, while he's getting ready, let me just state that if you will notice that on page 6 of the amendments, we get rid of the Minor Court Rules Committee, because that committee has not met for the last year, and the advisory committee to the Chief Justice will take the place. All of those amendments on page 7, 8, 9, 10, and so forth, deal with the responsibilities of the small court, what they call it, Minor Court Rules Committee. So by abolishing the Minor Court Rules Committee and transferring those duties to the Advisory Committee, to the Chief Justice, that's where those 5 pages of amendments come from.
Okay. And, Council, these amendments need to be adopted at this time, is that correct?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bond?
Could I comment just briefly on my portion of the amendments,
sure,
if that's appropriate? Representative Hanneman came to me and indicated that they had a need in Tillamook County that was somewhat unique. They have a new district court, a justice of the peace court that's been there for some years. When those two courts are badly out of balance, the district court is not heavily overloaded now. The district attorney, the district court, and the justice court have all agreed that it would be beneficial to shift some cases just temporarily from justice court to district court so that they don't have such a backlog in one court and that they can more effectively try the cases. The amendments provide that the justice court could transfer, if the district court accepts, there would be a sunset of January 87, so that this would only occur for a 1-year period to balance those courts. It's a very temporary thing to help with the backlog problem. And I know there are some philosophical problems with doing that on a long-range basis, and that's why this was specifically sunsetted.
Thank you.
Further comment, I checked with Bill Linden from the Court Administrator's Office. He wanted to check with a few people and call back and indicated that they have no problem with this provision.
Representative Kibetsky.
Could I ask Representative Bond a question?
Sure.
That is on the fees. What was resolved in terms of the fee, court filing fee?
There's one further amendment that was included. This would be limited to criminal cases only, so that there would be no fee issue at all. The district court would lose no fees, and there would be no fiscal impact, therefore. It also provides that there be notice given to the defendant on a number of other procedural protections that we hadn't talked about in substitution.
Okay. Well, not all of us were in favor of the new district court in Tillamook County. However, I think notwithstanding that, we certainly want to make sure that it works efficiently. So are there any other questions or comments about the amendments? Are there any questions for
the Washington County of a JP court?
Representative Phillips, you want to respond to that?
Not publicly.
Could I ask also?
Kibetsky, go ahead.
Mr. Bray, minor court rules committee, advisory committee, that's all right to get rid of that little group.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kibetsky, I am the executive secretary of the Minor Court Rules Committee, and that committee was not funded by the 1983 Legislative Assembly for the particular purpose that it was felt that its duties were now pretty much assumed by committees of the Oregon Judicial Conference. The 1983 Legislative Assembly did not repeal the section of ORS which left the committee in existence, however, and neither I or the chairman of the committee have any problem with that section being repealed now. Those duties are really adequately covered by the Oregon Judicial Conference through its committee structure. And it is my presumption that if this bill is enacted, that the Judicial Conference committees, particularly the Special Courts Committee and the Education Committee, would continue to assume those duties.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any further questions for Mr. Bray? Representative Bellamy?
Would you agree that probably this bill will have a minor fiscal impact?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bellamy, as the bill is now written, I do not see any significant fiscal impact for the bill. I'm not sure where the referral to Ways and Means came from on this bill. It wasn't from our agency. We had given this bill a zero fiscal impact. 2981, as it was originally drafted, had a substantial fiscal impact. However, Representative Bellamy's amendments, which he pulled out of that bill and put into this bill, do not carry any of that impact over to this bill. So as far as I can tell, we see no significant impact at all, and a very minor sorts of things, just to provide staff to the Special Courts Advisory Committee.
Okay, thank you. Are there any further questions for Mr. Bragg?
Mr. Chairman?
If not, Representative Bellamy?
Yes, I think we need to amend.
Yes,
right?
We need to adopt those amendments.
I would move to amend House Bill 2258 with Legislative Council amendments labeled 2258-5.
Thank you.
51585.
Thank you. Representative Bellamy moves the amendments to House Bill 2258 prepared by Legislative Council, House Bill 2258-5, 51585. Is there further discussion on the motion on the amendments? Any objection to the amendments? If not, they're adopted. Representative Bellamy?
I would move House Bill 2258 as amended to the floor do pass with the subsequent referral to Ways and Means rescinded.
Thank you. Representative Bellamy moves House Bill 2258 as amended to the floor, the do pass recommendation, and further moves that the committee report rescind the prior referral to Ways and Means. Further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bun?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Fetzky?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Representative Bellamy, would you like the honors on this?
I think I would.
Okay. We'll let you do the groundwork with the co-chairs and Ways and Means.
I will do that, yes.
Thank you. Okay, 2428.
Mr. Chairperson, we had a referral from full committee on May 8th this year. There was a motion to delete that portion of the bill which restricted grandparent visitations to dissolution, separations, and that motion failed and was brought back to the full committee as it was on May 1st. So as it stands now, the LC draft amendments 2428-3, the Kopetsky-Bunn amendments are still approved by the committee.
Okay.
That's Kopetsky slash Bun with a white gift.
That's not Bun Kopetsky either.
Okay, so the bill from the subcommittee has re-amended restores most but not all of the original language. And do we have a further engrossed version of that bill before us, or are we working off the earlier?
We're working off the one from May 1st.
Okay. Are there any amendments that require consideration before the full committee? Okay. Representative Kadetsky?
I believe there is a little amendment, Mr. Chair.
Is that a secret, or do you want to share it with us?
Well, I have here House Bill 2428 and already adopted. Amendments that are included in the bill, correct? Yep. And I think there's an interest on the chief sponsor's part, Representative Bellamy, to delete the First Amendment, which has to do with limiting this to marital annulment, dissolution, and separation. And that's found on page 1, lines 11 and 15. And in essence, the effect of the deleting that language would allow grandparents to come in and seek visitation rights in non-dissolution situations.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Bellamy.
I know Representative Kopensky bring this up only to embarrass me. If he remembers right, I tried that amendment and it failed in subcommittee.
Mr. Chair,
are you suggesting I try it again?
Well, I'm uncomfortable making that amendment philosophically, Representative Bellamy, and I'm not suggesting or encouraging any other member of the committee to make any motion whatsoever. We all are elected and get to do whatever we so desire here.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
I will move full committee to amend House Bill 2428, further amend House Bill 2428. Where's the right line?
I think it's lines 11 and 15.
Last minute. Oh, here it is. Okay. Lines 11 and 15, by inserting the words for marital annulment, dissolution, or separation.
Oh, I'll give it to Stan. Okay, why don't you review that with counsel? Were those prepared by legislative counsel, or are they?
I believe these were Representative Kopensky's amendments at the first work session in April.
Okay. Counsel or Representative Bellamy, could I ask you to repeat the motion, and then we'll make sure we understand the intent and the effect of the motion?
The effect of the motion is to, on page 1 of the fifth bill, on lines 11 and 15, to delete the words handed with our own gross for marital annulment, dissolution, and separation.
Okay. Is everyone tracking on that? Any question about the amendments? And again, the effect of this would be to permit a grandparent to have standing in court basically at any time, not whether or not there's an action for dissolution or separation or annulment, to raise the issue of visitation. Is that correct? Okay. Representative Bellamy so moves. Is there further comment or discussion? Clerk will call the roll on Representative Bellamy's amendment.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Kopensky?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
No.
Burton
votes no.
Representative Burton votes no. Motion's adopted. Are there further amendments?
Mr. Chair, can I change my vote? We were voting on the amendment to include that.
The amendment has the effect of returning to the original language of the bill. Is there any objection to Representative Peterson being recorded as a no vote on that last vote? If not, the record should still reflect that vote. And the motion is successful, 6-3. Are there further amendments? Is there further discussion? Is there a motion on the bill as amended?
Mr. Chair, I move to send House Bill 2428 to the floor as amended. Do pass.
Thank you. Representative Bellamy moves House Bill 2428 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Can I give a vote explanation now, or?
after the vote.
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Kopensky?
Mr. as you said.
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
No. Motion's adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burton.
Vote explanation, if I may. The intent of legislation, as I understood it originally, and I am on the bill, was to give the opportunity for grandparents who had found themselves in situations of divorce cases to get access. Apparently, in signing onto that bill in its original form, I misunderstood the intent of it, and I think we, by passing it in its original form, were opening up for litigation to a degree that I wouldn't have dreamed possible. So I think while the idea certainly of grandparent rights is one that I support, the degree to which we just passed this bill is not one that I feel very comfortable with. So I'm torn. I will vote yes on the main bill, but I think we're opening ourselves up for some problems.
Okay, are there any further comments on the bill? We will contact Representative Campbell. I would assume that he would... Representative Bellamy.
Mr. Chairman, I have since learned that if the language above the be enacted, then it is not printed as far as it's not put into the ORN. There are going to be some members on the floor of the House that are going to have a difficult time in voting for this bill because of the parents' rights versus the child's rights. And there's been some significant compromises here. I think some of those people might find it a little easier to support this bill if they did not have to look at this first paragraph of legislative policy and know that it was going into the statutes.
Okay. Mr. King, as one of the sponsors, do you have any strong feelings on that issue?
No, sir.
He indicates he does not. Is there further discussion of that amendment? Any objection to that amendment? If not, it's adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bellamy.
With that, I would move House Bill 2651 as amended. No subsequent referral, is it? To the floor to be passed recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Bellamy moves House Bill 2651 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion?
He's right back.
Clerk will call the roll on the motion on the bill as amended to the floor.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Jackson?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion adopted. Any volunteers? Representative Bunn?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay, 2516.
Mr. Chairperson, this deals with abandoned museum property. There were amendments at the subcommittee which would require the museum property to give notice to any lender to the museum, and it would also require an owner, a lender, to notify the museum of any change of address or change of ownership. The problem arises when lenders of property leave their property with the museum for several years and become lost. Run storage costs, run insurance costs, and sometimes people forget about them.
Okay, were there any amendments?
We adopted Representative Anderson's amendments 2516-1.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy?
I would move House Bill 2516 to the floor as amended to pass.
Thank you. Representative Bellamy moves House Bill 2516 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion?
Just a question.
Representative Phillips.
When you, on second page, the responsibility of the owner to notify the museum promptly in writing,
committee didn't say within 90 days or 60 days, which is the standard procedure when someone moves. I think promptly is kind of one of those terms. What it means to me and what it means to somebody else might be different. It's just a question.
Well, I'm a little reluctant to act without a chance to confer with Representative Anderson. It's possible that maybe that issue can be spoken to more specifically in floor debate or questions, or we can make a clear statement of intent at that time. I don't know what the effect of the failure to, quote, provide prompt notice would be, or to, if you didn't provide it within 60 days or 90 days, I don't think there would be any sanction, really. I think prompt notice may be about as specific in that context as we can get. But again, if Representative Anderson has some more specific statement of intent he wants to make part of the record on the floor, that might be the time to do so. Any further discussion? Okay, if not, the clerk will call the roll on the motion on 2516.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Britton?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Petsky?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. We'll contact Representative Anderson again as a prime sponsor and assume that he wants to carry the bill. Miller's requested that we take 2711 out of order, and we will do so at this time, Council.
All right. This is a rather famous little bill. It comes to you from your criminal
subcommittee.
2711. This bill is quite simple. It would create a crime of knowing or reckless discharge of firearms. Well, basically what it does is it prevents people from discharging firearms in unincorporated areas within 200 yards of any dwelling, school, place of worship, or store. There have been some incidents in Oregon where people have shot off their firearms where they've endangered either property or people within a shorter distance. The subcommittee discussed whether 200 yards was appropriate or not. They decided to leave 200 yards in the bill, and they passed it from the subcommittee to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Miller.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move 2711, House Bill 2711, to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Miller moves House Bill 2711 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Lund?
Aye.
Burton?
I'm sorry.
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Petsky?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer? Aye. Motion's adopted. Representative Miller, I assume you would like the honors on this.
I'd be delighted, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Subtitled the Save Bambi Bill. 2256 is the next on our printed agenda. However, the subcommittee chair, Representative Kopensky, has asked that we continue this to our next full committee hearing. Is that correct, Representative?
Yes, or thereabouts.
Okay, unless there's objection to that, we will carry over 2256. Next bill is 2222.
Chairperson, this bill is from the Corporation Commissioner. There are extensive changes in order to clarify the duties and obligations of the Corporation Commissioner. What it would do is modernize certain record keeping functions. It would change some standards, and we have in front of us substantial amendments. Designated 2222-2 to the bill. The commissioner of the Corporation Division has taken care of the agricultural co-op problem We were going to raise an issue put forth by Tim Wood of the Department of Justice on section 83, and we also took care of most of Mr. Reed Wilbert's concerns.
And the amendments, are there any package of materials before us here?
Yes.
These are the amendments, and they were adopted in subcommittee?
In the non-legislative council form. They would have to re-adopt
it. Okay. And are there any subsequent re-referrals on this measure?
No.
Okay. Representative Bunn?
I was with House Bill 2222.
I think we need to re-adopt these amendments, or that would probably be advisable.
I would so move.
Thank you. Representative Bunn moves adoption of the amendments prepared by Legislative Council designated as 2222-2, bearing today's date. Any discussion on those amendments? Any objection to those amendments? If not, they're adopted. Representative Bunn?
Mr. Chairman, I would move House Bill 2222 to the floor as amended with the pass recommendation.
Thank you. Excuse me for a moment, Representative Bunn. Let me back up a moment. There was the amendments that Mr. Wood had suggested for our consideration, and I think I'd indicated to the subcommittee that I would look for an opportunity to discuss those amendments with Mr. Wood and bring them to the full committee. I have done so. Those amendments which were proposed, Representative Bellamy, I think we had hoped to have some discussion. Apparently, it's Mr. Wood's request or concern that if it's appropriate to go ahead and to require some tracking, if you will, or registration of bingo for those who operate bingo games, and he felt it was also appropriate that the Department of Justice should have rulemaking authority as it relates to record keeping and inspection, and also have the authority to apply to the circuit court for an order adjoining the operation if a person operating bingo or lotto game fails to comply with those regulations of the Department of Justice. Now, I don't know if we had copies of those amendments made available or distributed earlier. I guess before we take the motion before, I'd like to see if there's any further discussion or what the sentiment might be in terms of adoption of those amendments proposed by Mr. Wood.
Chairman.
Representative Burton.
You're saying that these amendments were not adopted?
They were not adopted in subcommittee. We wanted, I think, some time to review them. I took the opportunity to discuss the need in some further detail of Mr. Wood, and apparently with the transfer, or what's felt to be would be the appropriate transfer of this kind of registration from the Corporation Commissioner to the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice Representative Mr. Wood, who works in their financial fraud section, felt that there should be some rulemaking authority for the Department of Justice in order that they could, in fact, require disclosure of certain records so that they could exercise that authority.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would move to amend House Bill 2222 to include the amendments recommended by the Department of Justice in Section 83. Which is sub 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Okay. Representative Burton moves adoption of the amendments identified as those prepared and submitted by the Department of Justice, which would be amendments to Section 83 of the bill as amended. Representative Bunn.
Could I just ask what kind of bad things happen if we don't adopt these amendments?
The real question is how many bad things will happen if we don't adopt these amendments?
Mm-hmm. I don't want to slow the process down, but I just if there's someone who can explain in simple language exactly what we're doing by adopting these amendments, or what will happen if we don't.
As I understand where we're at now, the Corporation Commissioner doesn't want what is now, I guess, the existing authority to somehow regulate or maintain some registry of the bingo or lotto operations. And what Mr. Wood has suggested is that if, in fact, that authority is transferred to the Department of Justice, where he feels it's appropriate, that in order to exercise that authority or responsibility, he feels that they should have rulemaking authority as specified in the amendment. And I think it's his concern that unless they have that opportunity to enforce or to adopt rules and then to enforce them as it relates to maintaining records and filing information required by the department for making those records available for inspection, basically the Attorney General's office or the Justice Department is not going to be able to have any meaningful regulatory authority in that area. Mr. Chair.
Do we have any idea how broad that rulemaking power is and whether it's comparable to their other rulemaking power?
I would have to assume it's reasonably broad for the purposes that are stated in the amendment itself, which is basically that the charitable, fraternal, religious organizations would be required to notify the Department of Justice and maintain records and provide information to the department as they shall by rule require. And I don't have any more specific information, just what kind of records he might be speaking to, and also that they make available for inspection those records during their normal business hours. Thank you. Representative Burton?
Well, I want to point out that what essentially is happening right now, if you have a bingo or a lottery game, you register those with the Commerce Department, and if a complaint usually comes up or there's an issue with it, it usually is dealt with by the Justice Department. Effectively, what was occurring here is to say, why don't you just put these files directly with the Justice Department to take care of it over that way. So it says you're really moving administratively, moving these over, and giving them the authority to go ahead and set up those procedures. It happens apparently in any case. It just takes two steps to get through.
In my discussion with Mr. Wood, I made it pretty clear to him, and I'm sure it's probably no secret that I look upon further grants of authority to the Department of Justice and the Attorney General's office about as closely as anyone. But Mr. Wood was able to convince me that they were prepared to exercise this responsibility in a, I think, a manner that would not be burdensome to those who are engaged in these kind of activities. And he certainly understands the context of the bingo bill last session. And I think he is very much aware, as I assume the Department of Justice is, that this is not a signal to try to backdoor the kinds of things that were in that bill, but to give them means to effectively carry out their responsibilities. Representative Kopetsky?
Mr. Chair, well, I guess I have a question. It seems like the Department of Justice, I mean, every state agency they have, there's always this little thing where they can adopt rules, you know, generally to carry out the purposes of their powers, and I don't see where they even, you know, even need to say it, repeat that another time. This seems like also, I mean, they're talking about investigations and applying to the circuit court. I would bet that all of a sudden it's got to have a fiscal impact. I mean, about every other bill that, you know, we have, it says the Attorney General will do this or that. You know, it always costs money to do that sort of stuff. And so, you know, we adopt this, I guess we'd have to send it down to Ways and Means. I don't know if the Corporation Commissioner would really appreciate our sending this bill down to Ways and Means, just, you know, so that the Attorney General could get some rulemaking authority, which I think they already have. So I just think I might respectfully oppose the representative from North Portland's motion.
A lot of bingo.
I know my aunt goes out there in North Portland. Goes to the church.
Okay, is there any further discussion on the amendment? Okay, if not, the clerk will call the roll on the amendment.
Miller? Bellamy?
Aye.
Bun?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Gretzky?
Nope.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion adopted. Representative Bun?
Chairman, just as I make the motion to pass this bill, I'd like to say for the record, there are members of the committee that are still concerned that the Corporation Commissioner move as swiftly as possible to make telephone contact with that office more accessible. I know she's doing that. I just want to continue to encourage that. I would move House Bill 2222 to the floor with the due pass recommendation as amended.
Thank you. Representative Bun moves House Bill 2222 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bun?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Gretzky?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Any volunteers?
Mrs. Edwards?
Representative Burton?
Here.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Bellamy.
I'd like to just thank the Jane Edwards, the corporate division, and her staff. I think she's brought us some very good amendments to the clarification of law and tried to improve it. Compliment her on that.
Okay, I would like to, because we have a couple folks here who I know everyone's waiting on these bills, but can we take up 2460 just briefly? I don't believe we have any work in full committee, I hope.
We did.
How much?
Well, it's one amendment.
Okay, Council, what's the one amendment?
Well, you haven't seen it yet.
Well,
money
forces.
This is a result, as I understand it, of a compromise between CSD, the Juvenile Rights Project, and Pascal Phillips. Is that correct? Because at the end of the last subcommittee meeting, Mr. Chair, you asked CSD and Mr. Phillips and Juvenile Rights get together and see if they could come up with a compromise on language to resolve some of the problems that CSD had with the bill.
Okay. This is not obviously an LC form.
No.
Why don't we take just a moment to review it. Basically, it requires that motion for intervention prima facie case, unless that's made, it could be dismissed. Is that correct?
If you recall, the subcommittee was a question about what do they mean by what would be meant by emotional ties, and this would clarify that the judge has to find a prima facie case that there was an actual emotional tie developed in the sense of a child-parent relationship for the person who was not a parent who wanted to have standing in court to argue whether they should have rights to visitation or adoption or to some of the custody.
Mr. Chair. Representative Bun?
I just have a question. The very bottom part says, or if intervention is not in the best interest of the child. How can you determine that without having a hearing to determine that question? I mean, if you can see prima facie on the face that there is no tie, the facts that are recited don't have any emotional tie, seems perhaps a judge could make a summary judgment on that, but if the intervention is not in the best interest of the child is a somewhat complicated issue. It seems to me we create problems by building that in and not seeing how a judge is going to decide that.
Mr. Chair.
Counsel?
I didn't write the amendment, so perhaps Ms. McFarland or Ms. Pearson could speak to those amendments. I don't have an answer just by reading, because I'm not sure at what point in the process the judge would be making this determination. Perhaps the judge would already have heard other facts so that he could make that determination from previous facts at this prima facie time. I don't know enough about it procedurally to be able to answer your question.
Ms. McFarland, can you help us here briefly?
Julie McFarland, Juvenile Rights Project. The motion would be on hearing. It would be a pretrial motion, and there would be a hearing. There would be an opportunity for both sides to present evidence. In terms of the motion for intervention.
Aren't you, in effect, going to try the issue itself by trying that element pretrial?
I think probably that could happen. However, motions for intervention wouldn't be that common in these cases.
What would be the problem if we just took out that last portion of the amendment?
Well, the purpose of the amendment was to meet CSD's objection that there might be some cases in which foster parents or persons who clearly really didn't have enough of a tie filed motions or petitions in court in order to for harassment purposes, and this was to allow the court to dismiss those clearly unworthy cases. And if you only leave in the first part, you're only allowing dismissal of a petition. You're not allowing dismissal of a motion for intervention.
Representative Bunn.
But if you eliminate the last part, all you're doing is saying that that issue has to be dealt with in full hearing. Isn't that correct? Would you have strong objection if that last part were taken out?
These amendments are to satisfy CSD. I have no strong objections to eliminating any.
I would move the amendments except for the portion including the word or and thereafter.
Okay. Representative Bunn moves the amendments before us, but deletes that portion of the handwritten amendments beginning the word or if through the end of the line and inserts a period after the word relationship. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
Does this replace the language in sub 2?
No.
Of the bill? This is an addition?
415.
This is subsection 2 of section 2.
It's an addition.
It would be added to.
It'd be added to.
Well, are you looking at this version?
No, it's not. I have not directed the committee to the fact that we have the substitute bill that's in front of you attached to a stipulated analysis. That's what we
ought to be looking at. Well, I've just got the third summons down to caucus, so we're going to take a recess and think about this issue during recess, and when we return, we'll take it up. Now, I just had some advice that caucus may be 15 minutes. I don't know why they're pulling us away for 15 minutes now, but members I know who are not going to caucus are going to want to return to their offices, but if they could remain on call, so if we can come back and work before the floor session, hopefully we won't lose too much time. So we'll be in recess, we hope not much longer this afternoon. Discussing whether or not that amendment was going to be appropriate or that deletion. Ms. Pearson, you're one of the people who's, identified as some responsibility for this amendment. Judge Norblad, why don't we hear from both of you at this point?
Al Norblad, and I'm here representing Oregon Families. Pascal's got a cold, sick. The issue is, I think everybody agrees that this bill is an excellent bill. The problem is, there are a lot of cases which ought not go and take all the court time. And people would be filing frivolous cases. We're trying to figure out a way, and this is CSD's concern, and it's a very valid concern. We're trying to figure out a way to get those type of cases out early without having to go through a full hearing. And one of the suggestions is the wording, crossing out the last part that Representative Bunn had problems with in putting in there, or does not allege facts that the intervention is in the best interest of the child. And that way, it could be handled without a hearing, but just if they don't plead the parent-child relationship, or if they don't plead facts that show the best interest, then the court can dismiss the petition. And I think that, I would hope that would handle your objections.
Representative Bunn.
Is it clear that it's limited to those fact circumstances, though? That if they don't plead that, they'd have to plead that on the face. What you're saying is they'd have to plead it on the face of whatever instrument, or the judge could throw it out. But if they pled it, you're saying that this amendment wouldn't be used then by the judge to say that there is not sufficient best interest of the children to prove it out. What would keep the judge from doing that?
The judge could look at the pleadings, decide whether it reflected that it was in the best interest. If he decided it was not, he could boot them out. If he decided that they have pled facts which allege that it's in the best interest of the child, then it would go to a hearing.
Representative Bunn.
Just say that on the face of the instrument it is pled that it's in the best interest of the child. If the amendment were accepted in its original form, is there anything that would keep the judge from just ruling that it wasn't in the best interest of the child and booting the case out?
Certainly not. A judge can rule any way he wants. I suppose the only thing that keep him from doing it is the embarrassment of being reversed on appeal.
I guess I'm having trouble.
She did that to me in her divorce case. She appealed me and got me reversed.
I guess I'm having trouble understanding if where the judge would normally kick it out is where it wasn't pled on the face. As a matter of course, everybody's just going to plead it on the face of the instrument, and then that portion of the amendment is meaningless.
Well, that's why we have in here facts. They've got to plead facts, not just simply that it is in the best interest of the child, but they've got to plead facts showing it's in the best interest of the child. Representative Bunn, it's a difficult area, and clearly if somebody else can find a better way to do it, we just want to kick those cases.